This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Still a great nation, despite the fact that there is great anxiety. There is even hysteria, as I've mentioned on this show before, concerning the possibility of a full-out civil war. Is it a declaration of war that they remove some documents from a room in President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago, Florida? Documents that he had already committed to giving back to the National Archives. Does that amount to the kind of declaration of war that could lead to civil conflict? There are new articles about this all the time. There's also a remarkably well-timed book. It actually came out several months ago, but it seemed almost prophetic. The book is basically called How Civil Wars Start. The author is Barbara Walter. She is the Rohrer Professor of International Relations at the School of Global Policy and Strategy at the University of California, San Diego. And congratulations on being ahead of the curve in predicting some of this domestic unrest that we're experiencing in our country right now. Is this exactly what you were writing about and expected?
Well, first, thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be here. When I started writing the book in 2017, I actually didn't think people were going to read it. I thought it would fall through the cracks. I thought academics weren't going to read it because it's not an academic book, and that the general public wouldn't read it because they would think it was hyperbolic. So the fact that it has resonated is important to me because I wrote it as a sort of a warning call to the nation that there's a cancer sort of growing underneath the surface. That nobody but the experts were observing and people needed to be paying attention. I do think January 6th was actually, a really important day, in terms of just showing to the public what actually was happening and making it impossible to ignore.
Do you sense that, this is going to, because what people are saying on the right is that this is for what January 6th was for the left, Monday night and the search, the fulfillment of a search warrant, actually, on President Trump's home, that was very much the same kind of provocation for the conservative side of things, that this shows that we are in a different reality and that the other side is completely and profoundly evil. Have you been at all surprised, or is this more of what you had predicted, at some of the truly off-the-chart statements by people on the right wing who were using terms like Gestapo? There was a demand by a United States senator that Attorney General Garland must be impeached. The difficulty in that kind of reaction, is that fall into How Civil Wars Start, which is the name of your book? Do we just lost Professor Walter? I don't know if that is symptomatic of anything that we are facing right now. I'd mentioned before that there's another piece that is very relevant that's just out today, and it's a piece in unheard.com by Dominic Sandbrook, and he actually goes back to the First Civil War and has a very detailed graphic description of the Thursday, 22nd of May, 1856, which was a day when there was an attack by a member of Congress from South Carolina, Preston Brooks, against a distinguished and abolitionist U.S. Senator, Charles Sumner. And Charles Sumner had dedicated his life to trying to overcome slavery, and he ended up being beaten on the floor of the Senate while other members of the Senate, some of his colleagues, were applauding. This so much shocked the American consciousness. Bruce Catton writes about this. This was an event that occurred almost exactly 3 years before. No, it was actually 5 years before the beginning of the war. But it presaged what exactly was going to happen. And then Dominic Sandbrook goes on to describe his own scenario for how a civil war now could commence. Barbara Walter, we have you back?
Yes, I'm sorry. There's technical difficulties that I don't quite understand, but I'm back.
Well, thank you. In terms of those technical difficulties, me neither. I apologize. We have just gotten a new board in the studio here that I'm broadcasting from. Anyway, we were talking about the idea of this representing, meaning the search of President Trump's home, representing a very significant event for a lot of American people on the conservative side who are out there. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So I don't think that's going to be a trigger for violence, even though, or civil war, even though that's what people are tweeting and that's sort of what you're hearing in the chat rooms online. And I don't think that's the case because we actually know a lot about what the risk factors for civil war are. We know a lot about who tends to start the wars. And we do actually know what some of the triggers are. And it's not events like this. So the risk factors, the countries that tend to be at high risk of civil wars are countries whose governments are partial democracies. They have weak democratic systems. Their democracies are in decline, or there are autocracies that are trying to democratize. We also know that the second risk factor is whether their political parties are based mostly on ethnic, religious, or racial lines. So if you think back to the United States in December of 2020, the election, we've had the election, we have a sitting president who's unwilling to accept the results, who's actually trying to overturn the results. We have political parties that, we have the Republican Party that's overwhelmingly white and Christian, and the Democratic Party that's overwhelmingly African American, Latino, Asian, and non-Christian. Those are the risk factors that we know historically tend to emerge in countries that are heading towards civil war. We know that the groups that tend to start these wars are not the poorest groups. They're not the most discriminated groups. They're the groups that had once been politically dominant and often economically dominant but are in decline. So, again, that suits the United States today. White Christians. This country was founded as a white Christian nation, and the white population, especially the working white class, has declined politically, economically, and in terms of sort of their social status. And then the triggers. The triggers tend to be, in democracies like the United States, if that once dominant group suffers a series of losses in elections. So if it becomes increasingly clear that they can no longer win given the system that's in place, the first thing that group usually tries to do is it tries to work within the system. They try to, using legal means, try to finagle the system to give them.
Okay, Professor Walter, we're coming up to a break. We're just getting to the meat of your argument. A number of fascinating points that you just made that we need to go back and review. I'm speaking to Barbara Walter. She is the author of the new book, recent book, How Civil Wars Start. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And on the Michael Medved Show, welcome back to Barbara Walter, who is professor of international relations at the School of Global Policy and Strategy at University of California, San Diego. And Barbara, you were just making the point that one of the characteristics of explosive situations that can lead to civil war is when there is a group that has identified as a group, has held power and prestige, and basically run the country, and suddenly they feel dispossessed. And what you're suggesting is that combined with the fact that the Republican Party is overwhelmingly white and that the Democratic Party, if you add up the various, quote, minority groups in this country, they represent a very clear majority taken together of the Democratic Party. But one of the questions I would have to you is that all of the analysis of the election of 2020 is that despite so much of the racial tinge to our politics, there was a slightly increased black vote for Trump, and there was a substantially increased Latino vote for Trump and for other Republicans. In the upcoming elections, all of the surveys show that Latino voters are split almost evenly between Republicans and Democrats. It's one of the reasons so many people expect a Republican blue wave. And just on top of that, one more thing, when you talk about white working class people, the increase of white voters for Democrats among the college educated, who are one of the fastest growing segments of the population. Doesn't that undermine that idea of a country split down the middle by irreconcilable differences?
So I would say it's a hopeful data point, and that's exactly what the country needs in order to reduce the risk of political violence in the future. We need our parties to be reaching across racial and ethnic lines. But the reality is still that if you look at the Republican Party, it is overwhelmingly white and Christian. And if you look at that, at those voters, and you think of them on a spectrum from moderate to extreme, with most of them being, you know, moderate, reasonable individuals, there is still a far right element that believes very strongly that the United States is and should be a white Christian nation. It believes very, very strongly that it's their patriotic duty to ensure that that is what the United States continues to believe. And they are preaching that increasingly that violence is an acceptable means to ensure that end. And there's no better, you know, vision of that than what we saw play out on January 6th, where those individuals who were storming the Capitol did not think that they were committing a crime. They did not believe that what they were doing was treason. They truly believed that they were doing what was right and in the best interest of the country. And those individuals are solidly supporting the Republican Party, and they're not moving anywhere.
Okay, here's the question for you about that, because the assumption that you're talking about violence being justified, it's been very, very rare for anyone of any political prominence at all to make that point. Where you see that point made is in public opinion surveys. Well, they will ask people, well, do you think violence is justified in order to get rid of an oppressive government? And a lot of people say yes. But that was counteracted by what happened on January 6th. Very few, and I'm deeply into this, I mean, it's something you look at, very few of the people who were arrested on January 6th were carrying guns. They were all gun owners, many of them say they were, but they didn't bring them with them to the Capitol. The idea that there was an intention, an organized intention to use violence to stop the election, certainly not to use deadly violence. And I thought, by the way, it was remarkable restraint. The police officers and the Capitol Police and the Washington Police, they all were heavily armed. They didn't shoot. There was no bloody Sunday like there was in the Russian Revolution. This was very different, no?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, again, these things don't tend, civil wars don't tend to explode all of a sudden. I think that's a misconception. They often take years to build. And oftentimes you do have fringe groups, the the radicals within a movement that are willing to use violence early on. And that's happened here in the United States, and it dates back to Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City, who was not a lone wolf. He was a follower of, he was probably part of a Michigan militia. He had sheets from the Turner Diaries, which is kind of the Bible of how to pursue a civil war in the United States. That was in his pickup truck. So you have these radicals who are willing to use violence early on, but it takes much, much longer for a movement to grow. And January 6th was not intended by a majority of those individuals to be the start of a civil war, even though there were individuals there who had black T-shirts that said, you know, Civil War, January 6th, 2022.
Right. No, they had a lot of 1776 stuff, too.
Yeah. I mean, their intent was to ensure that Donald Trump be named president of the United States. They thought that he had won the election, and they were going to, you know, go into the Capitol and ensure that that was the outcome they got. It was not to start a civil war.
If I can just interject here, something we covered yesterday, there was a new Pew Research survey that showed 51% of people who identify as Republicans say they would be more likely to support a candidate who said that President Trump actually won the election of 2020. And only 17% said they would be less likely.
And you know, that's true. I do think that, you know, people are calling it the big lie, this notion that Trump, that the election was stolen from Trump and Biden is not the legitimate president. A majority of Republicans believe that. That's what they've been told by their leadership. That's what they've been told by the media outlets that they go to. So they legitimately believe that that's true. So those survey results don't surprise me at all.
Okay, so what's the most important? Well, actually, we are out of time. And again, the conversation has just started. It's a pleasure speaking to Barbara Walter. Her book is posted on our website. It is How Civil Wars Start. When we come back, I will share for you the vision of another writer on how civil wars, particularly in this situation, could be lying directly ahead. It's a piece called Americans Are Ready to Fight. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says the Department of Justice has filed a motion to unseal the search warrant of former President Donald Trump's home. The former president's home in Palm Beach, Florida, was raided earlier this week by FBI agents over possible classified documents that were taken from the White House when he left office. Garland also saying,
I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. The department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
A scene is still active northeast of Cincinnati after an armed subject attempted to breach an FBI visitor screening facility in the city. This is USA Radio News.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved show, America's tribes are ready for war. That's the provocative title of a piece in Unheard. It's by Dominic Sandbrook, who is an author, a historian, and a columnist for Unheard. And Unheard is not Unheard with H-E-A-R-D. It's Unheard, not part of the herd, going their own way. And he writes about a famous instance, a famous incident that is seen to forecast the level of insanity and craziness and mass killing that was part of the Civil War. And it was an incident on the floor of the U.S. Senate where Senator Charles Sumner, who was a very impassioned abolitionist, one of the people who had devoted his life to the cause of ending slavery, had delivered one of his trademark speeches. And his speeches were very long. I mean, this was as long as at a Trump rally, even longer. And but very full of classical allusions. And he had made a speech in which he criticized a colleague of his, a senator from South Carolina, and Senator Butler. And then Senator Butler's nephew came over a few days later to the U.S. Senate during a recess. He came onto the floor of the Senate. He was a member of the House of Representatives, Preston Brooks, and he had a fancy cane with a gold head, and it was a cane that he used then to beat Senator Sumner unconscious, and he actually never recovered fully from the beating he received. And the fact that the beating was applauded by other senators who were standing there, and that other people sent gift canes to Congressman Preston Brooks saying beat him again and urging that he use that kind of violence on other people who were anti-slavery. That did a great deal because it was highly publicized, as you can imagine, as it would be today. If you imagine if there was violence that broke out on the floor of the U.S. Senate between a congressman and a senator of different parties. That's happened before in our history. If it happened today, it would also be a forecast. And presumably, you would want people on both sides to condemn what had happened. But that was not the case. People actually took satisfaction in that incident of violence. And that's what Dominic Sandbrook describes at the beginning of his piece. And then he quotes a colleague of his, a professor who actually teaches at Oxford University, and a history professor named Adam Smith, no relation to the famous economist and no relation to the congressman here in the Seattle area. He recently sketched out a scenario for the Sunday Times in London, suggesting that red America and blue America would become increasingly antagonistic entities, competing for the allegiance of a clutch of divided purple states. In this scenario, it is easy to imagine, he writes, that with a Republican majority on the Supreme Court baked in for decades, and an electoral system that gives an advantage to rural Republican states, the big Democratic states such as California and New York would push for more and more autonomy. And if the federal government pushed back, who knows what might happen. And this is one of those ideas that isn't so far away right now. If you look at the response to the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade, there is now great fear on the part of particular people who are very, very pro-abortion and pro what used to be called pro-choice, but it increasingly means pro-abortion. People who want to defend the right to abortion are worried that somehow with a conservative tilt toward Congress, there would be an attempt to nationalize restrictive abortion laws. And that is the kind of autonomy, if the federal government wanted to take an initiative to pass a federal abortion law that was very restrictive, you can imagine the outcry that would come about in New York and in California and in Massachusetts and in many, many states that are either purple or deep blue. And in the other direction, you could find the same thing on a range of issues, particularly the issue of firearms. If there was a federal attempt to push very restrictive new firearms legislation, would that would states that are more conservative, would states like Texas not push for more autonomy? The interesting thing, and it seems to me that what breaks down this analogy and the reason you're not going to have a repeat of the Civil War where there are some states that want to secede is not because we won't have states that want to secede. There's already talk about secession in various states, and there are even prominent politicians. You may remember that Governor Perry in Texas, Rick Perry, before he came into the Trump cabinet, had actually made some comments about secession. And the idea that this would actually be opposed as it was in the Civil War, that's the American miracle of what happened in the Civil War. It wasn't that the South wanted to secede. They had been talking about that for years. It was that people in the North were willing to sacrifice their lives to stop them, to defend the country. My question would be, let's say you're a conservative American, even mainstream conservative. Would you fight to keep California in the Union? Would you fight to keep New York in the Union? How about Vermont? Would that be worth a battle, compelling Vermont to remain part of the 50 states? They're celebrating in Vermont because they just nominated for U.S. Senate an underdog, quote, progressive underdog, Becca Ballant, who was the first woman and the first gay person, openly gay person, to be elected to the Congress to represent Vermont, which is not quite as impressive as it sounds when you recognize you've only had one representation, one member of the House for many years. And that doesn't mean a single member, just the one individual member. It just means they're only allotted one. And we will talk about this, by the way, about some of the desire. It's now two-thirds of Americans want to get rid of the Electoral College. Could that happen? Should that happen? We'll actually be speaking about that later in this show. The difficulty about all of these scenarios about Americans fighting each other, and it goes very much to this incident of and they found nothing about that guy from Cincinnati, right? They still don't know if they apprehended him. Somebody comes into the Cincinnati FBI office today, this morning, body armor, AR-15, nail gun, whatever that is for. The idea that we would actually provoke this kind of violence, and what does it achieve, and what's the issue? We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show. Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Michael Medved Show, the 73 Grill in Ohio gets its name from State Route 73, which runs through the farm country just off busy Interstate 71, the main route that cuts diagonally across Ohio. Edgar Castillo, 28, the owner of the 73 Grill, was preparing for the lunch rush at the grill today. Double cheeseburgers are the big draw when sirens disrupted the typically quiet rural community. My boss got his gun, and that the boss is just one of those people who is still waiting for the apprehension or the surrender. It's apparently a standoff in the woods. One of the things that depresses me about our country, frankly. Okay, it's not that there was a showdown with someone who was probably mentally ill and probably very dangerous and shouldn't have a gun and did and went into an FBI office with it. It's that there are people out there on the internet already, and it's not a few of them, it's many, who are endorsing the idea that this is somehow a false flag operation, that there was a false attack on the FBI office in order to try to generate sympathy for the FBI. The stupidity of false flag operations is that it is a theory that has no reality, and people always bring up the Reichstag fire. They still don't really know who burned down the Reichstag. They know that Hitler benefited from it. But the analogizing with Hitler when anything disastrous happens and suggesting that there is some ulterior motive, when people sacrifice their lives, when they blow themselves up, I mean, this was part of the problem with all of the 9/11 theorizing, that this was actually another false flag operation. It wasn't really Islamic terrorists. And these were people who had families who gave up their lives for the sake of murdering 3,000 Americans. They're disgusting people, but at least grant them that they were sincere enough to give their lives away, or you think that they weren't really dead. I know people think that the people on board Flight 93 who didn't really are alive somewhere. What, they're out on an island? I mean, I know people who were on Flight 93. I know one person. And no, actually, she was not on Flight 93. She was on the flight that hit the Pentagon. And this kind of theorizing is profoundly destructive. Several outlets, including the New York Times, say Clinton County, Ohio officials say the standoff has ended, the status of the suspect, even whether he is alive or dead, remains unclear. We will bring you the latest on that. An email. I'm sorry. What's that? Yes. I guess they need more time to make all the false flag arrangements and create an identity for the suspect. I mean, this is such foolishness. Not foolishness is a very fine email that came in from Bruce in Seattle. And he says, "While I appreciate, Michael, your attempted even-handedness in the search of Trump's property, it still seems you are soft-pedaling and downplaying some of it. Number one, it seems highly likely that this search would have been made for, would have been made for the run-of-the-mill presidential records. It seems unlikely that this search would have been made for run-of-the-mill presidential records. I think that's entirely true. Far more likely is that they have solid evidence that highly classified and or top secret material is still in Trump's possession and not secure. By the way, Bruce, I made the same point the other day, and I passed on some of the speculation that it might even involve something as sensitive as nuclear codes, something that could allow bad actors to directly undermine our defense and our military structure and posture. From reporting, it also seems quite likely, writes Bruce, that Trump and his team have misled the government and not actually been cooperating. Also true, there are reports that they either out of sloppiness or intentionally withheld some material, and we seem to know what it is, and I think that's specified in the affidavit that was filed in addition to the application for a search warrant, that material which was not sent back when they returned their initial 15 boxes of material. From reporting, seems quite likely that Trump and his team have misled the government. They've not actually been cooperating, he writes. And that's why it was a search warrant and not a subpoena. These are realities that should be part of every discussion about the search. You know what, Bruce? I agree with you. Number two is a second point he makes. Just because the FBI and or grand jury got information from an informant inside the Trump camp that doesn't in the slightest provide any evidence that justice has a spy in the Trump camp, as you suggest. Is it possible that someone in Trump's employ observed that there were national security secrets in Trump's possession and thought it best to blow the whistle? Yes, but I use the term spy because this was material that I was talking about that was passed on allegedly to Newsweek, not to the government. Do I believe that if Trump were breaking the law and if he had classified information that he wasn't supposed to have, that he purported to return, then the person who actually informs on that situation is a patriot, and obviously doing both his legal and his patriotic duty, and it would be wrong to characterize him as some kind of spy. The point being that once you have made the report, the question is, would you step forward, and will some of these details that led to this action in a very quick manner, apparently, well, not quick because they were dealing with a grand jury, which is another revelation. The third point that Bruce makes in his email, he says, I hope you will ask the question, why doesn't Trump himself reveal the contents of the warrant and the inventory? The inventory meaning the list of materials that were taken from him. They gave him a receipt for what was taken. He is the only one at this moment legally able to do so, and if his claims were accurate, he would prove them completely. Nope, he hasn't done that. Signed, Bruce in Seattle. Look, my understanding is that one of the things that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, said earlier today, at the very beginning of this show, He said that they were applying for authorization to make all of this material public and that it might be forthcoming. There is a tweet, by the way, speaking of forthcoming, Elaine Luria, who served our country with great distinction in the U.S. Navy. She's an Annapolis graduate. She was a naval commander. She's a Democrat. She's on the January 6th Select Committee. She said, any attack on law enforcement is unacceptable, and recent attacks on the men and women serving in federal law enforcement are despicable. I strongly condemn the attempted breach of the FBI's office in Cincinnati, and I am praying for the safety of our officers and agents. And then there's another tweet from Liz Cheney, who also just released her closing arguments with her primary coming up on the 22nd of August, I believe it is. Representative Cheney says, I have been ashamed to hear members of my party, the Republican Party, attacking the integrity of the FBI agents involved with the recent Mar-a-Lago search. These are sickening comments that put the lives of patriotic public servants at risk. I think it's true. And again, especially at a time like this, after the events in Cincinnati, no, it was not a false flag. And yes, we do owe a debt of gratitude to all in law enforcement, including the federal people in law enforcement, who are not part of some conspiracy. They're part of some organized determination and heroic determination to protect, defend, and sustain this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.